Let us pray. O God, our great companion, lead us day by day deeper into the mysteries of life and enable us to become faithful interpreters of life to our fellow men through Christ our Lord. Amen. If one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them, does he not leave the 99 in the open pasture and go after the missing one until he has found it? It is a pretty safe bet that most of you coming to church today do not have shepherding on your minds. A few of you may have remembered the mountain elk that gored a shepherd in eastern Utah recently, hospitalizing him with a punctured lung. Or the account of a 71-year-old Chester County man who was judged guilty this past week for shooting a neighbor's two Bernese mountain dogs because he thought they were going to attack his sheep. I have good news and bad news for you today. I want to think with you about shepherding in today's world. The bad news for me is that I only have 10 minutes to talk to you about shepherding. The good news for you is that I only have 10 minutes to talk with you about shepherding. The pastoral image of the shepherd is central to our faith. Abraham, Jacob, Moses, King David, and Amos were all shepherds in the Old Testament. The birth of Jesus was announced to shepherds. Jesus himself is lovingly referred to as the Good Shepherd. There are thousands of paintings and statues of him holding a lamb in his arms. There are two churches in our diocese named Churches of the Good Shepherd, Hilltown and Rosemont. When Bishop Daniel comes to us on October 20th for our anniversary celebration, he will be carrying a powerful symbol of his office, the shepherd's crook. Look for it. It is a symbol of his office and his position among us as a shepherd. Jesus often referred to shepherding in his parables and stories. We remember this image again and again today in the parable of the lost sheep. What insights is Jesus giving us in this parable? What does he want us to get from the image of being a shepherd? To me, there are three observations we can make from this parable. Number one, a good shepherd can change and narrow his focus when necessary. Number two, a good shepherd will delegate and seek cooperation from others when necessary. Number three, a good shepherd is always looking for a new pasture to feed his sheep. Number one, a good shepherd can shift his focus. He can go from the general to the particular when necessary. In this parable, what caused the shepherd's focus to shift from the 99 sheep to the one? One was missing. One was missing from the companionship and protection of the herd. One of his inventory was missing. And shifting his focus from the many to the one, he is fulfilling and affirming that one is of equal importance with the many. Good shepherds do that. Where do we find good shepherds in the world today? Gandhi was a shepherd. Mother Teresa was a shepherd. This past week, Sally Friedman, a writer for the Inquirer, talked about a film, Schindler's List. Oscar Schindler, a Nazi, who profited from the war, the Second World War, changed his focus at great danger to himself. He hired Jews for his factories, thus protecting them. Ultimately, Schindler, a non-Jew, protected and saved an estimated 1,200 people whose only crime was living while being Jewish. Oscar Schindler, as hard as it may be to believe it, was a shepherd. When he adopted the heart of the shepherd, he changed his focus. Good shepherds do that when necessary. We have shepherds in this parish. We are fortunate to have a rector and a deacon who are shepherds. When a member of our flock is hurting or missing, they are there. We are fortunate that we have members of this parish who are also shepherds. This parish is rich in people who care for and minister to each other. The heart of the shepherd is alive and well among us. Secondly, good shepherds know the importance of delegation and cooperation. Were you struck by the shift of the shepherd's focus from the many to the one in today's parable? It seems almost irresponsible. On the face of it, what he did was extremely risky. While the shepherd is focusing on looking for the one lost sheep, the 99 may scatter and more sheep become lost. How did he accomplish this without the loss of more sheep? It is highly probable that the good shepherd enlisted the help of fellow shepherds to watch his flock while he was away. When they need help, they temporarily turn to fellow shepherds. One of the most heartening observations we can make today is the amount of collaboration and cooperation that is taking place in almost every field of endeavor. Someone will start a study with a great idea, then call upon others to share in pursuing it. It is becoming increasingly and abundantly clear that no one can be expert in everything. Cooperation and collaboration are becoming the dynamics of modern science and medicine and education. It was very impressive for Ken Jennings, a fact nerd, to hold the longest winning streak in Jeopardy with 74 wins. At one time, he held the Guinness Book World Record for the most money won in a game show. In 2011, he volunteered to compete with Watson, the IBM supercomputer. Watson won. This is Ken Jennings' response. I don't have 2,880 processor cores and 15 terabytes of reference works at my disposal. My puny human brain, just a few bucks worth of water, salts, and proteins, hung in there just fine against a jillion-dollar supercomputer. Ken Jennings, a remarkable human being, is humbly aware of an important insight: that cooperation and corroboration of the IBM engineers and the superior of that Watson computer is vastly superior to the Lone Ranger approach, and he is aware of it is the wave of the future. Anyone who will lead others will want to take that principle very, very seriously. Good leaders are skilled at delegation and cooperation. Thirdly, a good shepherd is always on the lookout for a fresh pasture to nourish his sheep. That is one important role of the shepherd. Jesus said to his disciples, "Feed my lambs, feed my sheep." Good shepherds are constantly on the lookout for a better pasture. People, like sheep, will always gravitate to those people and places that nourish them. Today, this parish is being led into a newer, fresher, greener education experience for our young children and our adults. Godly Play for Children and TED Talks for Adults begin today. Dedicated, certified teachers will guide our children in a Montessori-structured approach to learning the important stories of our faith. TED Talks will expose us to the exciting, cutting-edge ideas that are being expressed around the world. The first talk today by Ken Robinson, Sir Ken Robinson, on the gifts of human creativity has been viewed over 17 million times. Your appetite for fresh, intellectual food will be addressed by these weekly riveting talks. This parish is shepherding each one of us into a newer, nourishing place to reflect upon our faith and its implications for our daily lives. But we come to church today, still living in a world that treats some as expendable and collateral damage. Jesus never did. With the heart of the great shepherd empowering us, neither will we.